continue on with session three from last time. Last time was more a review, and the subject that we've been looking at is God's desire for my Christian marriage. And it's basically, you can apply this to relationships, not just a marriage relationship. It can be any relationship, although there are some specifics in regards to the marriage relationship. Doug, you gave out a song that I found very, very, very difficult to sing. I'm going to read it to you because I think we all sang it. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I would ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Well, I'm not so sure how true those words are in my own heart. Daily live for Him. Surrendering all, willing to freely give Him everything. What if God said, I'm going to take you up on your word? We all sang it. At least I think we all sang it. But what if God took us up on those words? All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. Well, we do want that. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God leading and guiding us. We do want to know His power. And we do want to be wholly His. All to Jesus, verse 3, all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. Well, yeah, the last verse there, it's, give me the blessings. Let Your blessings fall on me. And life is wonderful, but... but what about, Lord, I give myself to Thee, fully to Thee? Those are big words to sing with a lot of deep meaning. Brother Leslie, would you read Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19? That's not what we're going to look at today, but those are two verses that are pertinent to what we want to remember.
18 and 19?
Yes.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them.
Two verses there that we need to remember in a marriage relationship, and they're not necessarily two verses that we like. They're not necessarily two verses we want to implement into our lives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And that's a key term at the end there, as is fitting it to the Lord, because if a wife is going to submit to her husband, she wants a man who chooses the will of God, that does godly things, that is a godly person, who is guided by the Spirit of God, who knows Jesus Christ as Lord, not just Savior, who's directing him. And therefore, as is fitting in the Lord, she's willing, she wants to submit. Or she should want to submit. I'm not saying she does want to submit. And then with husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, the NIV says, be not harsh. You know, sometimes that's hard for us men. You know, why does God say in the Bible more than once, husbands, love your wives? Because we don't get it. We love ourselves a lot. So with those two verses, I want to look at 1 Peter. We're going to look at chapter 2 just for a few verses, and then we're going to look at chapter 3. And keep in mind, when you start throwing the eggs and the rotten tomatoes this way, I didn't write these things. God did. Okay?
Hallelujah.
I am just trying to present these things because I feel that there's an absolute need in my life, as well as every other older person and every other younger person here. So some of you kids might think, well, these don't pertain to me. I'm not married. I'm not even close to being married. I'm in school. I'm not even thinking about getting married. These things are important for you to learn now. So that when you're looking for a spouse, when God provides that spouse for you, you know how you should be, how you should act, how you should restrain yourself, constrain yourself, and how you should love. And so these things are very important to each and every one of us. Not just the adults, not just the old people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Or that's the NIV. The King James says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to be the king as supreme or etc., governors, etc. Okay, then I want to look at verse 17, and I'm going to read, the King James says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Verse 17 in the NIV says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. Then he goes on and talks about slaves. And what's interesting is, after he's finished talking about slaves, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at verse 20. Again, NIV. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Well, it's not to our credit, is it? If we did something wrong, we deserve to get beat, or we deserve the chastisement. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. And sometimes in a marriage relationship, we're suffering. It shouldn't be like that. But because of the way we are as human beings, and we're very selfish, we suffer. And we suffer sometimes for doing good. Sometimes for doing the right thing. And God says, you know, that's commendable. I see it. And that's very commendable. I praise you for it. Verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. So what do we have here? We have an attitude that Christ, when he suffered, he didn't retaliate. He didn't make threats. He didn't say, I'm going to get you. You're all in trouble. Think you can put me on a cross and nail me to a cross and you think you can put me to death? He didn't do those things. He committed himself totally to God. This is the plan. This is what God wanted. I'm going to submit to it. He went to the cross. He paid for our sins. The only way you and I can get to heaven, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to have our sins washed away, to be clean, spotless in the sight of God, because now God sees us through Christ. So his attitude was an attitude of submission. So then he goes into the next chapter. He continues. See, we divide it by chapters, but when this was written, it wasn't divided into chapters. This is a continuation. And he says, wives, in the same way. In the same way as what? In the same way as Christ. As Christ suffered. He didn't make accusations. He didn't try to get revenge. He bore it. He committed himself to God and he said, look, this is the way it is. God, whatever you have for me, I will accept. And so he says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Wow. See, I wouldn't have written that. Because you would have crucified me if I had of. I wouldn't have got out of here alive. The men would have been fighting off their wives because they want to kill me. But you know, God, who we heard about from our brother Lester this morning, the attributes of God, is so amazing. He knows all things. He knows everything. He lives in the present. And so he wrote this and he says, in the same way as my son submitted himself to me, I want you wives to submit yourselves to your husbands. I'm not saying that's easy. But it's an attitude of heart that we, not we, that the women, the wives, because I'm not a woman, need to aspire to. need to seek. To be willing to submit to the Lord 100%, to His Word 100%, and therefore submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Now, does that give me as a husband the right to say, you're supposed to submit to me? You better do it with a smile on your face. Hey, I don't like your attitude. You're supposed to submit to me. You see, I'm, as a husband, it's not my place to make my wife submit to me. That's between her and God. But my wife should love me enough and should love the Lord enough, and I should be acting as the proper husband before the Lord, that my wife says, I want to submit to Him. I want His leadership. He's a spiritual, godly man. He's taking the family in the right direction. I want to submit to Him. Because God wants me to, and I see that godliness in my husband. Again, that doesn't mean that I beat my wife into submission. It doesn't mean that I mock her when she doesn't do things properly. It doesn't mean that I antagonize her, and it doesn't mean that I constantly remind her. You know, all those things are aggravations. And if you want to push your wife away, do those things. But you know what? I don't think there's any one of us here that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that love Him like we say we love Him, want to push our wives away from us. Because God says, hold on a second. That's not right. Husbands, you're to love. You're to love your wives. That's an unconditional love. Do they make mistakes? Yes. Are they human? Yes. Do they say things that are wrong? Yes. Do they antagonize us sometimes? Yes. But you know, they're human. We're all human. We are to forgive. We are to forbear. We are to show kindness. God says, husbands, 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 love, 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 love your wives, your wives, your wives. Do we get it? I mean, sometimes we love our wives. You know, when things are going well and everything, we love our wives. And when things are rough, that woman aggravates me. Why does she say those things? Why does she do that? And all of a sudden, anger starts building up. God says, put anger away from me. Put away wrath, malice. Now I'm kind of diverting a little bit here. Let's look at, continue to read. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So now we're referring to a wife that has a husband who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord. And so the woman is to keep bringing verses to him, keep pounding the gospel at him, keep hitting him with the word of God until he finally accepts Christ, right? Wrong. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. It says this, that they may be won over without words. Wow, how do you do that? God tells us. By the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Wow, isn't that interesting? Now you say, well, my husband's saved, so I don't need to listen to any of this. You know what? The attitude that Christ is presenting for the wife here is whether your husband's saved or not. Purity. Reverence. Not a bunch of words. Submissive attitude of the wife. Sometimes I get my words all mixed up. So I ask you, wives, women, are there any of you here that need to do better in this area? I surrender all. I give my all to thee. if you do need to do better in this area, I want to ask you a question. Will you try this week to be more submissive to your husband? Will you put it into practice? That's what I'm basically asking. Will you apply it in your life? Will you seek God's help? Will you get on your knees and pray and ask God for strength? Ask God for a godly husband? If your husband needs change, pray for him. Do not antagonize him. Verse 3, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of the inner self and the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Interesting. You know, God doesn't condemn beauty. God's not saying, don't look nice. Don't take care of yourself. Don't dress nicely. God's not saying that. What he's saying is, if you get all caught up in the outward appearance and your inward is self-destructing, it's of no value. You want to have great beauty in the sight of God? You want God to look at you and say, wow, she is very commendable in my sight. I'm thankful for that sister. I'm thankful for that woman. It's the inner beauty that is more important than the outward. Take care of the outward, yes. Make yourself look presentable and decent for your husband, yes. But it's the inner beauty of a quiet, meek spirit. Even to the point, and I want to get through this because I got to get to husbands. As we read on, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive. They used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who Abraham called him her Lord or Master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Do not give way to fear. Don't fear that you're doing the wrong thing when you're submitting to God and to God's ways. But I don't think in my marriage relationship, because the King James uses the word Lord, here it's Master. I don't think my wife has ever called me, Bob, you're my Lord, or Bob, you're my Master. I don't think she's ever done that, which maybe that's my fault. Maybe I'm not being the godly husband that I should be. Or it could just be that we don't talk like that anymore. I'm hoping that's the case. Because I want to be a godly husband, and I'm sure every one of us men, husbands, want to be godly husbands. But you know, sometimes we just don't know how. And then we don't try. We don't seek out God's word as to how we can improve. And so, like, you kids here that are guys, okay? You want to learn now what God's word says about being a godly husband. Right, Nikhil?
Right.
Not picking on you, just saw you looking this way, kind of, and then not looking this way. I thought, I'm going to hit you. But it would be interesting if one day we went home and our wife greets us at the door and says, oh, my Lord, good to see you. We'd probably all pass out. And I'm at the wrong house. And something happened here. But that's the impact that a godly woman, a submissive woman, can be in a marriage. So women, I want to encourage you to try this week to implement that into your life so that when we come together next week and I corner you and ask you, hey, did you try to be a godly woman this week? Did you? I don't usually do that, but you know, I may just do it since I just said it. I might catch somebody. Anyways, it's not my job to be the Holy Spirit and to make you do anything, so. Then the next verse, and this verse is just packed full of stuff that kind of is scary to me as a husband, and yet I welcome it because it's the Word of God. Verse 7, husbands, what? In the same way what? the same attitude that Christ had, submitting himself. Submissiveness. Oh no, you mean the man has to be submissive? Absolutely. Am I saying the man has to be submissive to his wife? No. I'm saying the man has to be submissive in his attitude, in his character, in his thinking to the Lord. Just like Christ was. See, sometimes we think as men, we got away from that. We escaped that submissiveness. You know, that's on the women. Uh-uh. You know what? If I'm not being submissive to the Lord, how can I expect my wife to be submissive to me? My first priority is to obey God. Number one. God is number one. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. God is number one in my life. God gave me my spouse, my wife. My wife is number two. She's not number three. My work isn't number three. The fun that I have or the hobbies I have aren't number three or number two. I'm really getting off here. My wife is number two. I am wrong. I am not following God. I am not being submissive to the Lord if I make my wife number three or if I make her number one. The Lord first, my wife second. Well, you say, well, I have kids and I love them dearly. Your children are a blessing from the Lord as a result of your love for your spouse. Now, they might not know it, but they're number three. They are never to be number two. Now, is number three bad? Absolutely not. I want you to know, all you kids are a blessing from the Lord to your parents. And to us here as a church. You are. We love you guys. But, according to the Word of God, you are a result of the love between your mother and father. And you're a blessing from God. You weren't in the picture in the very beginning of that marriage. You were in God's eyes, but you weren't in your parents'. Your children don't necessarily have to feel like they're number three. You should love them so much that they can hardly tell the difference between your love for your wife and your love for them. It doesn't mean that number three, two has to be here and number three has to be down here. Number two and number three are so close that your children really shouldn't be able to tell that too much difference at all. And maybe not even know a difference. And yet they should be able to see the love that a father and a mother have for each other. And if you don't see that in the home, you've got more problems than I'm dealing with here. I am trying to be a help to get each and every one of us to the place where God wants, or we have what God wants for us. What is that? God's desire for my marriage is to be a happy marriage, to be a caring marriage, to be a loving marriage, to be a home full of joy, not terror. A home where visitors can come over and they see the love that's in the home, where strangers can come over and they see Christ in the home. And they say, I want what they have. My marriage isn't like that. My relationship isn't like that. I want to be like them. What do they got? They've got Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They've got a relationship that's according to the Word of God. They've got a home filled with love that reaches out. And people see it and they want it. Why did I become a Christian? Well, obviously, the Spirit of God spoke to me. But I want you to know something. I saw in a friend in school that he had something. I didn't know what it was. I knew he was different and I wanted it. And so I asked him, and believe me, he was quite free to tell me. And I didn't get it right away. I didn't understand it the first time he told me. But by the grace of God, by God's mercy, my friend told me about Jesus Christ. And even when I was with him, I didn't understand it. We spoke for several hours in a restaurant the last time before I became a Christian. I went home that night, and I couldn't sleep. The Spirit of God used those words. What was it he was trying to tell me? What was Steve trying to tell me in that conversation? Boiled down to a few words. Christ died for me. That's what I got from it. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Laying in bed because a friend at school took the time to tell me about Jesus Christ. I saw in him the difference. And I wanted what he had. That is what our marriage relationship, that is what you kids at school need to have. That you are not like the world. That we are not like everybody else. We have a joy that comes from the Lord. And people want it. And they want a marriage like ours. So husbands, submissiveness to the Word of God. Husbands, be in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I'm going to read the King James. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, in the middle of this, it says, giving honor and respect unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. All of a sudden, the attitude comes up from the women, well, I'm not weaker than him. Well, hold on a second. What does God say? So, does that mean that us guys are these great big macho, nobody can touch us guys? No. You want to know something? Us men are weak vessels too. You see, when God created the human race, didn't he create weak vessels? But God says the wife is the weaker of the two weak vessels. In other words, it's not for me to be lifted up in pride and think I'm something great, I'm something wonderful, I'm something special, and my wife is not. You know what? We are both weak vessels, but God says we are to treat our wives with respect and honor as unto a weaker vessel, the weaker vessel. It's an attitude of heart. Now, it also says, I really like the King James here, where it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Whew. You've heard the statement, nobody can ever understand a woman. That's not true. Or God would not have put this here. We are to live with them according to understanding. We are to understand our wives. So you say to yourself, how can we understand our wives? Well, I wrote down a few things. One is taking the time to get to know them, to find out what they like, to examine their habits, to find out what their needs are, to look at their mannerisms, and get a point of view from them so you can understand better their perspective on things. You see, how many times have we sat down and said, well, okay, now I'm going to take the time to understand my wife. I can't ever remember doing that. And I would almost challenge or accept anyone to come forward afterwards and tell me, hey, I did that. Because I will highly respect you for it, believe me. Take the time to consciously take the time to try to understand your wife. Second thing, listening. Really focusing on listening to understand their point of view. Now, that's one thing I've heard so many complaints about women. My husband doesn't listen. Now, unfortunately, I'm in that category. My wife finally clued in that we have this thing. I can be reading, I can be focused, I can be doing something. My wife can talk to me and I can answer her. And then down the road, she says, hey, what about that thing I told you? I said, what thing? Well, I remember in the living room area, you said, and I talked to you about it, and you said, yeah, that's fine. No, I don't remember that. So this is what my wife does now. Bob. What? I need to talk to you about something. She tells me. But guess what? I don't forget. She got my attention. I listened to her. But there are still times, it's not a perfect marriage. There's still times that she says, hey, do you remember the other day I said something? No. So, but that's, she understands now that she's got to touch me. She's got to get my attention. So that's a good thing for your wives to maybe pick up. Another thing is finding common interests, doing things together, and discussing things. When was the last time you sat down with your wife and actually had a discussion? Well, you know, my life's so busy, you know, we'll try to make it on Sunday afternoon. Well, no, I sleep on Sunday afternoons. That's not good. I'm just kind of giving you some scenarios. I usually don't sleep Sunday afternoons, but once in a while I do. We need to take time to discuss things. Listen. Listen to your wife. Discuss things. Get their point of view. Another one that I came up with is, and you know what? None of us are going to like this, but denying ourselves. Giving up some things in order to draw closer to our wives. Denying ourselves. Wow. That's even talked about in the scripture. Now, I'm talking to you men, but it doesn't mean that the women can't apply this to their lives, too. Because if you want to have a stronger bond, a stronger relationship, then you deny yourself in order to please your spouse. Does that mean you're the only one that gives things up? Is that really for me to say? What does God require of you? I could give you an example of something that took place this week, but I won't. But that's what happened. One of us had an idea. The other one had a totally different idea. One of us had to deny ourselves to please the other. Then the big thing here is being considerate and respectful, putting effort and conscious thought into the marriage relationship. So I have a question for us men. Now, I'm going to take the liberty of taking 3.5 more minutes. Doug, you cut me short this morning. I think I told you last week that we retain approximately 10% of what we hear, so if I only speak for 30 minutes, you get 3 minutes. You understand? You retain 3 minutes of what I'm telling you. So if I go for 35 minutes, then that's 3, you know, 3 point. Whatever. It says here that they are heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Wow. My prayers are hindered? If my relationship's not right with my wife? Turn over to the book of Malachi. Last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 2. Verse 13, if we were to go into the history, which we don't have time, what was happening was they were taking wives of other religions and making them their wives, and then they get to a certain point, they divorce them, get rid of them, and get a younger wife, and that will continue on. And so in verse 13, he says, another thing, the Lord is speaking, he says, another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings. That would be your sacrifices, your worship. Or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. Verse 14, and you ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Wow. You mean God doesn't accept my worship? Well, my relationship with my wife isn't right? That's right. The Word of God says so. Bob's not saying so. Don't say I said it. Read Malachi yourself. Your worship, your prayers are being hindered according to 1 Peter, according to the book of Malachi, and probably other verses I'm not aware of, because your relationship with your spouse is not right. Your relationship with your wife is not right. You are not the man of God you think you are. Wow. You mean when I come here on Sunday morning and I worship and my relationship at home is bad, God is saying he doesn't take pleasure in my worship? Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. That's what the Word of God is saying. You want to be right with God? You get right with your wife. Your wife, you get right with your husband. It's as clear as that. Now, am I sounding hard and harsh? I am sounding passionate. I love that from my brother Leslie every time he gets upset. No, not every time he gets upset. He's very passionate about what he believes in. And I believe this 100%. I am being very passionate about it. Is it my job to make you this way? To make you be a better husband? Is it my job to make you a better wife? No. I am bringing to you what God says. It's between you and God, not between me and you. And so I encourage you, I exhort you, that if your relationship with your spouse, if you wives do not have a good relationship with your husband, and your husband does not have a good relationship with you, and you men, if you don't have a good relationship with your wife, and your wife doesn't have a good relationship with you, unfortunately, the man is responsible before God to make sure the relationship is right. Men, step up to the plate. And let's hit the ball right this time. Submit yourselves to the Lord, and your wife will submit herself to you. It's guaranteed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is interested in each and every one of us individually and collectively. You care about our children. You care about our grandchildren. You care about our spouse and our relationship with one another. Not just as a church, but you care individually about our families. Lord, help us to be the men and women of God that we are supposed to be according to your word. Help us to submit to you. And that is not easy because we are so selfish. But Father, we ask that you will give us the strength to overcome our weakness and be willing to lay ourselves down before you, that the strength of the Lord will be in us, that we might do what is right in your sight and not what is right in our own. We look to you for a blessing throughout this week, that we might take up this challenge of trying to have a better relationship in our homes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.